The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And a very pleasant good day. We have made it to through another weekend. Yes, well, some of us have. Great to have you alongside us for the next 4 hours as we delve into what happened on week 8 and look ahead to that glorious week 9, headed off by the Florida-Georgia game or the Georgia-Florida game or however you would like to call it. We are here, and let's get to some headlines. And we start where we just left off in Oxford, Mississippi, all about Matt Corral. He's explaining why this team isn't just good. They're great.
Definitely think that this team is bridging to be from good to great. You know, it's easy to be a good team, right? It's easy, but it's hard to become that great team because you need all three phases to do their job.
You know, the guy's a warrior. The guy's awesome. You know, selfishly for him, well, I mean, it's not really selfishly. I wish we had all the pieces around him, you know, because now you're going to get, you know, Heisman that he doesn't have the numbers and all that stuff. And, you know, you got to watch the game. Yeah, I don't get to sit back there and just wait forever and throw to wide open people. So, I mean, he's awesome, and I don't know where he'd be without him. Another note on him, I mean, he threw for 180 or something like that, and like I kind of said afterwards, man, sorry, we didn't do a better job getting guys open. He didn't care. He didn't care less about his stats. That is rare at any time, but especially this age with kids.
So we have a blind resume as we start obsessing over the Heisman. Player A, player B, player A has 300, averaging 341 total. Player B, 312, 24-28 in terms of TD receptions, 2 turnovers to 4, QBR 89-81. I don't know. So I always learn in these to take the least spectacular. So I'll go with player B. I got Bryce Young, even though I was angling for Matt Corral. But you know what? I'll take Bryce Young. I don't think you could suffer badly with him as your quarterback. He's done quite well this year, as all of you saw on Saturday night as he led his team to a win over Tennessee. Bryce Young. Alabama dominated third down. Too many red flags. Defense spotty at times. Special teams spotty at times. Tide survives by 28. So what does that Tide have remaining? They have LSU. That's a win to 94%. They have a 99% chance. Arkansas is the tough home game there at 94%. Then they go on the road to Auburn. Auburn right now remains the most mysterious team in the SEC. If they were to beat Ole Miss this weekend, then they head out to A&M. They've got a chance to make a lot of noise. They also have a chance to be eliminated rather quickly. Speaking of being eliminated quickly, Dan Mullen all but eliminated from the SEC title game. You won't hear that from him. But the spotlight on Mullen continues. Could it dim or intensify after this weekend in Jacksonville? McElwain was 2-1 against the Dogs. Muschamp 1-3. Urban 3-1. Even the Zucker was 2-1. Spurrier, yeah, first four. Well, you're going to hear a lot about Dan Mullen this week, and you're going to hear a lot about him today on our program as we get ready for the afternoon. Aaron Suttle starts it off, and then there's Pat Dooley. You don't want to miss Pat Dooley. I didn't mean to say you don't want to hear Pat Dooley. Pat Dooley's covered Florida for a couple of lifetimes, especially if you're a teenager, and he'll give us the latest. We've got a couple of Arkansas stars as we continue to build up for basketball. Mac, GMAC, that is, at 5:15, and the TOL guys will join us end of the third hour. Let's get to your phone calls right now at 855-242-7285. Mad Dog.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're doing great. Good afternoon.
Hey, first of all, it was so great to meet you when you were in Athens. You're like I told everybody, if you're ever in that person's town, they need to do whatever they can, including calling in sick, to go to your show and meet you, because you are one of the most down-to-earth people I've ever met. And, I mean, you're so nice to everybody, just, you know, having conversations, taking pictures and autographs, and it was just great. So, again, thank you for that.
Well, thank you for saying hello, Matt, Mad Dog.
Well, Paul, speaking of Mullen, you know, we've always in the past consistently heard people basically apologizing for his underachieving, and this year's no exception. And so what I'd like to know is, do you think that he is the top offensive mind in college football like we so often hear?
I think he is a great quarterback coach, and I think he in game is, I would probably say he's as good as I've seen this in college football today. But, you know, I also think Lane Kiffin is in that conversation and should be.
Well, I think that Kiffin is head and shoulders above Mullen. Of course, I'm not the most objective person on that subject because, you know, Georgia fans just really view him as an arrogant, loudmouth Yankee from Pennsylvania who wants all of the credit and none of the blame.
Well, Mad Dog, I think Dan Mullen's problem to me is off the field, not on the field. His inability to get over this hump from a recruiting standpoint is still baffling to me. I've heard theories on it. I'll let some more data build up before I go to, because the theories are somewhat unflattering. But I do think that is his problem, because I've watched him a long time. He's a smart coach. I think he's a really good coach, but, you know, I do think Saturday is one of the most important games of his career down there, because I don't expect him to win. I could change my mind as the week goes on, but, you know, should they lose badly, he's going to have a hard time explaining, even though the rest of the way he has a pretty easy route, but it's not going to change anything. Again, thanks for your kind words. And Pat is up next in Georgia. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul, thanks. I want to talk about Georgia, Florida, but first, what do you think of the new overtime rules, especially with what happened Saturday night?
Okay, I'll tell you my story on that. So I was trying to get back from Memphis the other day. I had to go through Atlanta, and I was fortunate on the plane. Very few planes on short trips have TVs, but this one did. So I sat down on the plane. We got out of there very quickly because Memphis doesn't have a lot of traffic these days. The game just ended, went into overtime, and I kid you not, it was I missed the last play in the overtime when I got to Hartsfield because that's how long it took. I hated it. I made the mistake too. I was not listening to it. I just had it because I was flipping game to game. Oklahoma was on. Cincinnati was. It was a great time to be captive on a plane. So I was not. I for some reason didn't grab the headphones. So I kept going back and forth. And every time I looked at the Penn State game, I didn't know what was going on because I had forgotten, Pat, the new overtime rules. And I kept thinking that I was getting a delay because I was 30,000 feet up. And when I finally got a chance to comprehend the game later, I just said, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I don't know how, I mean, I know why the rule was passed because of the LSU A&M game, but it's a terrible rule.
Well said, well said. Well, listen, Georgia, Florida is going to be a beatdown. They'll probably be 45-10. Our defense will just shut Florida down, and Grantham will be gone next year. Our offense will probably start with Stetson, and I think Daniels, he'll get in there. He'll get some practice, get some game time to get him back into the, you know, the game situation. But I don't see – I'm sorry to say this. Every time Georgia gets a head football coach at Florida that we can consistently beat, they run him off and try somebody else.
Now, come on. Dan Mullen, I don't think Dan Mullen's leaving there right now, but I do think the air is going to be more uncomfortable to breathe. We'll talk to Pat Dooley about that a little bit later on, and we will, of course, be in Jacksonville on Friday. I bet you could have guessed that. We will take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back. Great to have all of you here just listening to Nick Saban. Sounded genuinely excited to beat Tennessee. Of course, it was the first time Alabama's trailed at Bryant Denny in about 8 years or 9 years. Aaron Suttles covers the Tide for the Athletic. Aaron, good to have you on. Before we get to Nick Saban, I want to congratulate you for being, congratulated by Saban the other day. You were babysitting while you were on a Zoom call. So what was that like?
It's a brave new world, Paul, where I get congratulated for simply parenting. But yeah, it's just a work from home situation, and now with Zoom, I wasn't scared Nick Saban would yell at me, because you and I both know that if you've been on enough ends of a Nick Saban tongue lashing, you're sort of used to it. That didn't really faze you. I was scared about being inconsiderate and unprofessional to the other reporters that were on that call, and having to want to listen. Probably didn't want a baby screaming, and to Coach Saban, I probably didn't want a baby screaming at him either.
Well, I thought you did okay, but you owe nobody an apology for being a dad. So I am curious, though, Aaron, and maybe this is the grizzled newspaper man in me, but COVID is over for a lot of people, although you know it's really not based on what the healthcare professionals say. But what is different this year, or is it much different? I know it's a little bit different, but how is it different as a reporter covering the team like that?
I think just not getting, face-to-face interaction with the players. I think with players that are in the program a long time, even at a place like Alabama, which is pretty stringent upon their availability, you sort of develop, at least if you do a good job, you're responsible about how you go about it, you're in the room, you develop a rapport with these players. I think for the last couple of years, they sort of view you, you're a face on a box that they're looking at. So there's really no body language to pick up on. There's no sort of a smile you can give after a question to sort of let them know your intentions about a question. So they're a little more guarded, I think, and rightfully so. If I did nothing but answer questions from people on TV, I wouldn't feel like I know them either.
Talking to Aaron Suttles. So Aaron, let's talk about this Alabama team at the bye week. This is always the traditional moment where we count down toward the game of the century against LSU. And this year it's not going to happen like that. But what would your assessment be of Alabama at this point in time, considering it's been shaky at times, it's been brilliant at times, it's pretty much been everything, has it not?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. It's inconsistency. I think this is not a mature football team. I think this is not a disciplined football team. And the results when you have immaturity and discipline issues is you get inconsistency in performance. And I think the fact that Alabama's 8 games into its season and has really played one complete football game, 60-minute football game, that would be against Mississippi State, sort of tells you where you are with this team this year. And I think it's all relative, right? Like, if you're Missouri, you're beating down the door to get a year like Alabama's having right now, or other programs, but it's relative. Alabama's used to, they're coming off having arguably the greatest college football team of all time, certainly the best individual SEC team that we saw with 110 SEC football games. I think you can see it in Nick Saban. The fact, I don't know if you picked up on this, Paul, his post-game interview on the field, he's like, I don't want to talk about the negatives. Let's focus on the positives. And When has that ever been Nick Saban's message? Nick Saban's always about, it's about perfection, playing to a standard, and now he's wanting to sort of concentrate on what they're doing right instead of all the stuff that they're not doing right. I think privately this team is giving him heartburn.
Really? Expound on that a little bit, because Nick Saban and heartburn, those are always good topics for this show.
Yeah, I just think it's frustrating for him. He just can't get this team to consistently perform, and I think it's driving him crazy privately. And who can blame him? Like, take two instances from the game, like simple coming out of television timeouts, and you get a delay a game once, and you have to take a timeout to avoid getting the delay a game. I mean, those are small things, but it just shows you where this team is. Roughing the punter on 4th and 23, getting a punt blocked. I mean, just simple things that this team continues to do that prevent it from having a complete performance. I think it's driving Nick Saban crazy.
As we turn the page on the first half of the season and look ahead, the schedule, you know, LSU, Arkansas, but I think a lot of people are more focused on Auburn at the end of the year. Completely, a mystery team that will be. We'll know everything we need to know the next 2 weeks with Auburn, with A&M, and then Ole Miss this weekend, and obviously the Georgia game. Aaron, is this team consistent enough, I guess, to beat a Georgia team that looks almost impenetrable on defense?
No, not right now. And my question would be, you know, unless this team gets markedly better between now and December when the SEC championship game rolls around, I don't think it can beat Georgia. I mean, how can you have any faith that it can? 8 games into a season, you probably are who you are at that point. It's probably not realistic to expect a big jump. But when Alabama plays well, if they didn't have any turnovers and defense plays as well as possible, sure, they can beat Georgia, because I think Georgia's got some weakness on offense. I think they have an unbelievable defense, but I don't think the offense is there in terms of its consistency. They just play to their strength, which is defense, and then play off of that on offense, and it's worked really, really well for them, as they should. But Alabama, you just don't know what you're going to get. I mean, I'm not even game to game, Paul. It's quarter to quarter. You don't know what you're going to get from this Alabama football team.
Well, let's talk about why you think, or at least you, among the people you talk to, believe that we are seeing this. I mean, we know the obvious. It's a much younger team. We all know what's left this team. But Aaron, that's a story pretty much every year. New offensive coordinator. That's not a new subject. And the same defensive coordinator. So put the pieces all together for us.
Yeah, it's a good question, because Alabama's recruiting hasn't changed that much. They're always a top five recruiting class. And last year, let's just take last year's class. Draft class. Got six guys going in the first round. Obviously, that's going to hurt this year's team, because that's a lot of talent gone. But five of those guys were on offense last year. What's happened to where is the talent on this Alabama defense? Alabama used to put first-rounders on defense, and they did last year with Patrick Surtain, the second. But where are the first-rounders this year that are draft eligible? How many are there this year, Paul? One?
Yeah.
Evan Neal at left tackle? Now, Will Anderson will be the next year, because Will Anderson is one of the top two players in the SEC, along with Jordan Davis. No question in my mind, he'll be a first-rounder. But where are the first-rounders? And where is the – so it comes back to, if recruiting hasn't changed that much, Paul, and there's only maybe one first-rounder, it's development, is it not? And I think the continuity of the coaching staff certainly has played a factor in that. And just, you know, that's all I can think of, because their recruiting is pretty good. You know, it's always number one, number two, or number three in the country. And, you know, there's been years where you question, okay, Alabama's lost this much into the draft, and you would question that, but they would just come back and reload. They haven't done that this year. I mean, there are plenty of talented players, but there are nowhere close to what it's been in the past in terms of developed talent on this team.
Talking to Aaron Settles from The Athletic, covers the Crimson Tide. I'll sound like, if I could just morph into a Feinbaum caller here for a second, Aaron, and ask you, what's the deal with Pete Golding? And I ask that because I get that question every time Alabama doesn't cover the spread, and I think they did over the weekend somehow, some way. But yeah, explain the relationship between Nick Saban and Pete Golding, the defensive coordinator.
It's a good one, and I get it, as you would imagine, I get it every game on Twitter, you know, about 100 times a game. You know, this is a Pete Golding problem. And anecdotally, I don't know that I can disagree with that, because 2017, that defense finished number one in the country. That was Jeremy Pruitt's last year as defensive coordinator. Every year since, it's gotten worse and worse and worse. This year, they've bounced back a little bit, but it's still not a stereotypical Alabama defense. And Nick Saban had an opportunity in the offseason. If he had wanted to make a change, he could have made a change, but he didn't. So he is loyal to Pete Golding. I think it comes down to communication. I mean, take what Tennessee did on that, I think it was a 70-yard touchdown pass. Josh Jobs is not even looking at the play. The corner for Alabama is not even looking at the play. He's got his back turned to the wide receiver who runs right by him, and he's looking at the sideline. Now, Tennessee runs their offense really, really fast, so it's difficult to signal in a defense. But there are too many busted plays. And I don't think it's limited to Pete Golding in terms of questions on this coaching staff. I don't know for a fact, but I would not be surprised if there's more turnover on this coaching staff this year. It just doesn't seem like a cohesive unit, at least the way it's coming together. And the fans have certainly seized upon Pete Golding, and you know as well as I do, Paul, that once the tide has turned, pardon the pun, against you in public perception, it is awfully hard to get that back.
Is it that way, Aaron? Because, and it's understandable, but no fan wants to blame Nick Saban for anything, do they?
Right. No. And it's starting to. It's interesting you say that, because I've had a lot of people say, isn't defensive back play Nick Saban's specialty? And what was the weakness of Saturday night's game against Tennessee? It was the secondary. It was multiple big pass plays. But offense has changed so much. It's tough, but they just don't have the guys. I don't look at that defense and say, first rounder, first rounder, first rounder. I see Will Anderson as a first rounder. You know, they've been without Drew Sanders, and certainly losing Christopher Allen hurt, but I just don't look at that. Like, guys that I thought maybe after their freshman year that would have been potential first-rounders, I would have thought maybe Christian Harris had an opportunity. I would have thought Jordan Battle had an opportunity. They're both juniors, and I just don't see first-round talent or first-round performance so far out of those guys. So I just look at it, where are the guys? Where are the guys that you look at that Alabama had for so many years, and you think, he's a future NFL star. He's a future. They're just not there in number like they've been in the past.
Aaron Suttles, covering the Tide for The Athletic. Aaron, all the best. Great to have you on. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Paul.
Wow, that was an honest portrayal of Alabama, and that is a breath of fresh air. He's also right about pretty much everything he said. Let's take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Boss is up next in Cullman, Alabama. Hello, Boss.
Hey, Feinbaum. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I called. We'll talk about Nick Saban and how he coaches the defensive backs. This is not one of those calls where I want to say Saban needs to go or something like that, but I'm starting to think that maybe he's using Pete Golding as a cushion because Pete Golding takes all the heat. But if you look at the Tennessee game, the three times they scored, it was all mistakes by the defensive backs.
Yes.
And everybody gives Saban credit for evolving and being this great coach who's changed his offense and the size of his defense. But the one thing he hasn't changed is how he coaches his DBs. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately you can't quit blame. You have to – it always starts with the top. I'm guilty of it myself. I did it the other day with another school, blaming the coordinator. But, you know, that Nick Saban – can do whatever he wants with that team and that staff. And I can't believe he thinks the coaching is working successfully on that side of the ball.
Well, he has a guy that is listed as a DB coach, but, you know, do we really know how much freedom he's given the guy to actually coach the DBs?
Well, listen, I've been out there before. I mean, DB is Saban's specialty, but and I know he works with them, but you know, he's not out there as a DB coach, so let's not lose sight of that. He's running the entire operation. And I think if you had to say that, but here's the difference, though. Nick Saban has had three defensive coordinators since he's been at Alabama. Kevin Steele, Kirby Smart, three defensive coordinators until Pete Golden. Kevin Steele, Kirby Smart, and Jeremy Pruitt. And most of the time it was Kirby Smart. Nick Saban trusted those guys. Now, my question is, does he really trust Pete Golden over there? I don't.
I don't think he does. I don't trust him.
So, you know,
they give me heartburn.
Yeah, so you have to wonder exactly what's going on. And I don't think a decision has been made, but if Alabama's not in the playoffs, I think a decision has been made.
But this isn't the first year, though. I mean, if you really Alabama's been having
I frankly thought 2 years ago Golden ought to go. I mean, I was not quiet about it either. I mean, these are not things I'm just saying to my friends and then bringing back up here on the program. I don't like saying those kind of things. I met Pete Golden's dad a couple weeks ago in Atlanta, and he called in the show one night, and he's a well-known high school coach, and Golden seems to be a really a smart coach. But, you know, you have to develop these guys. And as Aaron Suttle said, he's getting the players. It's what is he doing with them after they land in Tuscaloosa? John is in Louisville. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Nice interview with Aaron Suttles.
Thank you.
Very very interesting. Before I talk about Big Ten, I have not heard from Jimmy the Cop lately. Have you?
It's been a couple weeks.
Well, I know he has health issues. I hope he's doing well. He's a gracious caller. Anyways,
yeah,
you had mentioned on Sunday that Michigan has the most at stake, Jim Harbaugh, particularly for the Michigan State game. Obviously, Mel Tucker is far exceeding expectations. And by the way, you know, he was 5-7 at Colorado, 2-5 last year. I cannot see him as the LSU coach in any way. But I was going to I have neighbors that we take these field trips. So one went to Ohio State, one went to Michigan, and the other went to Notre Dame. So I get to see the nice Notre Dame campus once a year. Ann Arbor is a great college city, and obviously the best crowd is at the Horseshoe. But they were explaining to me Michigan shouldn't be a surprise. They lost 12 to the NFL last year. Two opted out when the Big Ten canceled the season. And then four were injured, of which two in the NFL this past draft. So they lost 18 players last year. So I don't think there's any magic to what Michigan's doing, other than they got rid of Dan Brown and they brought in a very young coordinator. But what impressed me when I watched the games is they had their first two fumbles this past weekend. The quarterback's only thrown one interception. So I agree with you. They look somewhat pedestrian when they start, but I think they're going to get all the way to meet OSU, but I think they'll lose to Ohio State, go to the Rose Bowl maybe and play Oregon. Here's my question. If Alabama doesn't beat Georgia and Oklahoma looks like they're in, who are the other teams that are going to kind of fall into that top four?
Well, John, right now I think all eyes are on Cincinnati, and, you know, they – Cincinnati's big games remaining are there's one game I forgot. I know they have SMU at the end of the season and one more blockbuster.
And, oh, please.
And
Navy almost sunk up.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, here it is. SMU, let's see, Tulane, Tulsa, South Florida, SMU, and East Carolina. And they and then they have the conference championship game. I was a proponent of Cincinnati, and I mentioned the plane ride I had the other day. There's something good about, you know, being captive for an hour and watching a bunch of games at once. And I watched the fourth quarter of the Cincinnati Navy game, and I'm not a believer. They would not be in my top four. I think this conversation about Cincinnati is fraudulent, and I'm ready to move on. So I don't care what their record is, and I don't care what Mike Oresko says about them in the future. I know they beat a pedestrian Indiana team and a good, not great Notre Dame team. I give them credit for that, but they're not in the same league as Alabama, Georgia, or Ohio State.
Well, I think it's going to be a great game between Georgia and Alabama, but could 11-1 Mississippi or 11-1 Michigan or 11-1 or 10-1 Notre Dame get in?
No, I don't think so. There are a million scenarios, but remember there's still Oregon out there, John, that...
Yep, they looked real bad too last weekend.
They look terrible, but they've got... other than Texas A&M, they've got the best win. I frankly think they may have the best win of the year in college football, the fact that they won at Ohio State.
Agreed. Good show.
Thank you very much. We'll take a short break. We have a lot to do. The guests will continue. Aaron Settles has already been here talking about Nick Saban and what's going on or what's going wrong in Tuscaloosa. Yeah, they're still in the top four. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back to the program. And Carolyn is up next in Florida. Hello, Carolyn. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Good. We called you 2 years ago on my mother's 98th birthday because 20 years ago, she was able to go see two of her grandsons play each other in the Florida-Georgia game.
Oh, I do remember
that.
One
had a scholarship to Florida. Yeah, and she will be 100 on Friday. And so it's always a big week in our house. So we just wanted you to call you and tell you hello and how much we love you. And she was going to say, hey, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Well, hello and early happy birthday. How are you doing?
Well, just an early happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Well, you've given all of us young people, I've never been able to, inspiration to follow your path.
You are young because you're around my age, but we just wanted to say hey to you, and I just think her story is so neat. And she,
so, Carolyn, what was that experience? Tell us about, let's go back 20 years, and what was that like?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. Three of her grandsons had scholarships to Duke, Florida, and Georgia. And they both, the Florida-Georgia game was very special for her that day because it was on her birthday. And she got to see her two grandsons. They both played defense, on Florida and Georgia. So they didn't actually play each other at the same time,
sure,
but they both played in the game. And it was very exciting. It was wonderful for her, and we had a lot of pictures made, so it was a great day. But I have to say, go Gators. I know my brother and sister-in-law are probably, the parents of these three guys are probably listening, but we do lean towards the Gators, so
Well, Carolyn, thank you.
And there's no chance they're going to win.
I don't think it's likely, but I've seen bigger upsets.
Okay, good. Good to hear. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Carolyn.
We appreciate it. We love you.
Well, that means a great deal. And happy birthday, and hope you guys have a great week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
How cool. What a great call. Celebrating the 100th birthday. Let's go get a little bit younger in demo right now and check in with Matt.
What's up, Paul? I'm on my brother. I want to talk to you about my Texana Aggies.
Okay.
What did you think of us on Saturday, Paul? We looked pretty good against South Carolina.
Yeah, I have to say, I think we buried the Aggies a little bit too early.
Yeah, you guys did, but it's okay. I mean, we
and Matt, I tell you what, I have to tell you this. We may end up in Aggie land before this year is over, so stay close.
Oh, really?
Yes.
When is that, Paul?
Well, you know, we originally were going out there for the Alabama game, and then we took it off our docket. We didn't think the game would be any good, but there's a game coming up that we're looking at, so I'll let you know in about a week. How about that?
That sounds good, brother. Look, I want to talk to you about something else. What do you see Jimbo Fisher in 3 years from now? You think he's going to win a title? I believe he will win a title in 2023, but do you see him beating Saban 3 years in a row? I know it's hard to do that, but I don't know what your thoughts. Do you think he's found that magic formula to do it?
I don't really know about that because I don't know the trajectory of where Nick Saban is. You know, is this program going to continue to get better or what? But I think Jimbo Fisher has it made. He will continue to win. How many wins over Saban? He's got one, and that right now, that's all that matters. Pater is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Pater.
Hey, Paul, you there?
Yes, how are you doing?
Good, man. Hey, do you think Coach Dodo will sit DJ Lil Wee Wee for Puka Mahachi for the next game?
Yeah, you know, I don't know what Dabo is going to do, and yeah, quite frankly, I don't really care any longer because Clemson football doesn't matter too much to me at the moment. What about you?
Well, you know, I mean, we're still in it. I just want to
You're still in what?
I
thought my boy. I got bad news for you. Clemson is irrelevant in this year's college football season. So don't tell me you're still in it. I'm not even sure you guys can beat South Carolina. I think that's a real opportunity for the Gamecocks here in a few weeks. Let's check in with Dan in Mississippi. Hello, Dan. Go right ahead.
Hey.
Hey, Dan.
How's it going, Paul?
Quite well.
Yeah, just want to know about LSU's next coach. Who do you think it's going to be? I'm hearing a lot of rumors, Lane Kiffin, and it goes all over the place. Like 10 or 12 different coaches.
Yeah, I tell you what, I heard somebody say this the other day. I don't know where it was. If you're speculating, you have no earthly idea. And if you're not talking, you're probably no. I don't know. I know about it. I don't even want to say as much as you. I may know less than you do now. I do know one thing. Being in Oxford over the weekend, there is some concern there about Kiffin and LSU. I will tell you that.
Right, right. Mike Tomlin, Steelers head coach, that somebody's mentioned.
I would like to know where the Mike Tomlin rumor began. Does anyone have any idea why Mike? Well, Carson Palmer, I'd like to know, I don't know Carson Palmer, never met him, but I'd like to know what his credentials are for thinking that Mike Tomlin would work at LSU.
Yeah, it's a good possibility. I mean, it sounds good to me.
Hold on a second. It sounds good. Mike Tomlin is a very successful coach with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But, you know, he knows nothing about recruiting at LSU. He knows nothing about dealing with all the things that you have to deal with. I think that's a very difficult transition for somebody at this point in Mike Tomlin's career. And I would be shocked I wouldn't be shocked, but I'd like somebody to give me more other than Carson Palmer pontificating.
True. That's true.
What does Carson Palmer even do anymore?
No clue, man.
He spreads rumors. That's what somebody.
Urban Meyer, I mean, has been.
Oh, please. I mean, let's get real. Urban Meyer, I feel more comfortable telling you Urban Meyer is not going to be the coach there than I do about anyone else. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We are heading to a break. Rumor Central is where we are. And Pat Dooley has got a few rumors of his own. He'll join us next.